Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
the show where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's yet another edition of Imagine This Podcast as we transition from April showers into May flowers.
That was nice. That was very friendly, Mac. Better than last week. You should always start the episodes. That's right.
Well, I mean, we just got a little room to stretch here. I just want to, you know, I recognize our listeners are coming from other places and other experiences and want to make sure they are.
Other podcasts, potentially.
They're ensconced in our warm embrace of listening about arts and culture in Milwaukee, city and county. And hey, maybe even beyond. What's up, my Boulder listeners? What's up, my Boulder, Colorado listeners? We're back.
How's the real estate out there for an Imagine Boulder?
All right. Well, we'll get tweeted at. I'm sure our Boulder listeners will tweet at us. So thanks for that. And again, for those that are listening this week, we're excited to have after the opening here, Arvind Gopalratnam, who is the Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility and the ED of the Milwaukee Bucks Foundation. Because playoffs, baby, you got to have your Milwaukee Bucks on board. So he's after the break. But before that, as I hinted in the opening, right, it is a time of transition. Mm-hmm. As I believe everyone on our team has been vaccinated. So we're now imagining a time where we actually may co-work together.
Am I also someday the last one to be fully marinated? Are you all like past your time frame?
Oh, yeah. I've been out. Yeah. As of today. Yeah. I'm out of the slow cooker. I'm out of the Dutch oven. I'm ready to be enjoyed.
I think I'm going to celebrate by like going into a clothing store or something very small.
I was hoping you were going to say, I'm looking forward to playing tackle football in a sauna with strangers. That's what I was hoping you'd say at a Planet Fitness. And that's why I started giggling. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to commit to it and give our listeners the treat of that image of you playing tackle football.
Is that an idea you've pitched to a Planet Fitness before? Because that feels a little bit outside of their current capacity.
It's a little too specific. I'm not saying it's on a balled up post-it note that's outside of my garbage can.
Yeah.
I can't either confirm or deny that.
Wait, so, yeah. Only the Planet Fitness or just like as we emerge from pandemic, that's you're going to be your new business?
Like I'm not saying it's a business. I'm just saying it's possible, a sauna with strangers. I don't even know if Planet Fitness has a sauna. I just thought of just a chain. I don't know many chains since I only work out at, you know, bourgeois fitness trends. That's what I do. Me and the rest of the Nordic friends hauling stones up the Bradford beaches, sand dunes and whatnot.
So any fitness inspirers out there who are going to cook up the newest boutique sort of fitness trend, Matt will be the first person in line to sign up.
Hopefully there's a Groupon. Money. I need that Groupon to entice me to come around and then I'll stick because I'm too lazy to cancel my credit card fee thing. That's the way to get me.
Right. So ultimately, right, for anybody who's listening, if you're going to start a tackle football in the sauna fitness thing, send Mac a Groupon and he will be the first to sign up.
I'll sign on. Then you'll have my credit card info and I'll be too lazy to cancel it. And then I'll continue to come and do it.
Speaking of getting back to public life.
Yes. Thank you.
Going back to classes and workshops and stuff.
Yes.
Here's where I could go into a very long TED talk about audience outlook monitor data, but I won't. We'll save that for now.
We're going to save that one.
That's
up.
Exciting.
That's a teaser,
I like
baby.
The sort of like nonchalant drop of like big information on this podcast just now, Lindsay. That was incredibly graceful.
We'll come back to it. But, you know, maybe the sauna isn't a great idea. I don't know. But what sort of ways?
Wait, Wolf Brown didn't include that in the sauna. We did not have a sauna.
Did not specifically ask about sauna.
Tackle football and a sauna. Tackle football.
No. But you know what they did ask about?
What did it?
Performances, of course.
Yes.
And I know for one, David had the opportunity to go to a live performance this week. So would love to hear more about it. Haven't had a chance to yet.
Broke the duck.
Yeah, it was so incredible to be able to go to a preview performance of Ella Fitzgerald, Queen of Song at the Milwaukee Rep. First time in a live theater performance in over a year. the staff was welcoming. It was super easy to come in, get out, and the show, right? The show, seeing Alexis J. Rostin sing the great songs of the Ella Fitzgerald Songbook, great band. I mean, I can't tell you how much I missed it. I think, you know, in our work, we work with these groups. We work in the milieu of the performing arts and arts in general. And I think because of that, I had sort of forgotten how much I would have missed sitting in a theater with Tammy, with, you know, a handful of other people. I mean, the capacity is only 25%. So every open seat seemed to have been full, seemed to have been taken. But being able to experience, you know, gasps from the audience members when Ms. Rostin sang their favorite Ella Fitzgerald song, right? Hearing the cheers throughout the show, it just really reminded me how much that experience is incredibly important and so worthwhile. God, I can't wait for the next season. Can't wait for the summer as we begin to, you know, emerge safely as more and more people are being vaccinated.
I don't want to leave the Milwaukee rep because May is Asian American Pacific Islander Month, and the Milwaukee rep is doing a series of virtual panel discussions featuring AAPI leaders. And I do want to hype up at the end of the month, David and I are going to be on a panel. Somehow they're allowing me to moderate a panel on the Milwaukee area AAPI leaders on arts activism and legislation to come together to represent the arts. So I just wanted to drop that plug. I know we're not doing plugs, but since you talked to Rep, you brought it up. So it's going to be a panel with Alexa Alfaro, Angelita Tenorio, who's the alderman of West Allis. Again, Alexa is the co-owner of Meet on the Street, entrepreneur and business owner. And David Lee is on that panel, and I'm moderating it. So I look at it as our shadow takeover.
Is this going to be a shadow podcast at the Milwaukee rep stage with Alexa Alfaro and the alderman from West Allis?
So there you go. So that's the way we're going to be coming out of the pandemic, is doing that panel.
You know, I'm curious, in addition to being on the panel, if Alexa from Meet on the Street is going to cater. And if so, was my dream about lumpia a premonition?
You predicted it. You called it. I'm excited to say there are three Filipinos in that panel. So that's, we're going to have some sort of Filipino quorum, and we're going to pass some Filipino Wisconsin policies, I believe. I'm excited about that. So
what's first on the diet?
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in committee we're exploring right now, and we got 3 weeks to sort it out, but I'm excited to work with those folks. I know Alexa. I'm looking forward to meeting Angelito, and I know David, so that's kind of boring. But
so wait, is there going to be like some sort of trying to figure out if you can find the 47 others to figure out how to make Lindsay's dream come true?
That would be awesome. If I could identify 47 other leaders to virtually make Olympia to make the prophecy come true. That's great. This is a little reward of Easter for return listeners, by the way. This is a reward for
those. We just need to figure out how to get Lindsay and Kenita at Sunstone Studios across the street, right? Which is a storefront theater.
That's exactly
and then
right.
Bill Clinton. Like that's
exactly
all.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
I think Bill Clinton's the easy part. I think, would a cameo Bill Clinton count if we cameoed him?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's doing cameos. All right. So anyways, that's one event I'm looking forward to doing. I think it's virtual. I think they had sort of pitched the possibility that was real time, but I see it's advertised as virtual, but definitely want to plug that. That's towards the end of the month. That'll be released. And also David, I guess what I'm looking forward to also is, attending events. My daughter has a recital, a vocal recital this weekend, or at least it's already happened as we taped. So, I mean, I think going to watch her perform, it'll be outdoors, but going to see her perform is just getting me in the mood, getting me ready to be an audience member. I'm excited to give standing ovations, unguilted into, but legit standing ovations. I'm looking forward to doing that. How about you, Lindsay? What are you looking forward to as
we come out of this? Well, this coming week, Del Canto, who has been doing some recording throughout the pandemic, and I opted to participate virtually until now, is going to be getting together to rehearse and record another concert. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to feel really weird to be surrounded by, you know, 60 or so other singers making music. It's going to feel weird and great, I'm sure. And we'll be working on a piece that really connects you with your sense of mortality. So David Lee.
It's a David Lee. It's a David Lee special right there.
The Vaughn Williams Donum Nobis Pacem. So crazy that we've reached a point where going back to making music with other people.
Have you all been rehearsing in person or still rehearsing virtually?
They've been doing hybrid. I've been rehearsing virtually, tuning in on Zoom. But there's been a group at the Milwaukee Youth Arts Center on Wednesday nights rehearsing. So it's been a hybrid innovation during the pandemic.
You all should consider some team building, which would be y'all playing tackle football in a sauna. I think that would bring you all together.
Sure.
I couldn't stop. I couldn't resist. Let me know if you need someone to set that up, tee that up. That's my new side hustle.
Are you a facilitator? Yeah. Yeah.
I was just getting you guys in towels in a sauna, and I just roll that Nerf football in the middle, and y'all go at it. That's pretty much the. So not a lot of facilitation there. Not a lot.
Wait, that's like the leader of the Peloton group, right? Like you got to have the person on the headset.
That's right. I'm on the headset. Like, you guys are great. You're doing great. All right, Bel Canto. This is gonna help her singing.
Are we sponsored by Peloton now?
I wish. I could use the discount. I mean, I don't even use it. That's one of the few bougie trends that I'm not involved in.
Sorry.
Because I can't afford it. Other than, you know, me hauling stones up with, you know, Magnus von Magnuson, you know, up that sledding hill. Yeah, that I can do that, but so I can't afford it. All right. Well, that's not this podcast. But also the season we're in is almost playoffs for basketball. And that's my transition to back to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow, that was... not as smooth, but we'll
not
take
as
it. We'll
no,
take
it isn't as smooth. No, yeah. It isn't as smooth. No, you're right. It isn't as smooth. It was pretty clunky, but we got to get to our guest. We thought it was good timing to have Arvind Gopalratnam, who's the vice president of corporate social responsibility, also leads the Milwaukee Bucks Foundation. In his role, Arvind oversees the day-to-day ops of the Bucks Corporate Social Responsibility Department, also furthering the philanthropic efforts statewide of the Bucks Foundation, which is dedicated to improving outcomes for underserved populations in Wisconsin by providing financial grants, developing innovative partnerships, and supporting impactful ideas in youth ed, youth health, and wellness and community betterment. He is a Wisconsin-Madison grad on Wisconsin, and he joined the Bucks in 2016 as the director of corporate social responsibility before promoted to his current role in 2018. He was also, prior to this, the director of communications for GE Healthcare. Looking forward to talking with him after break. With what we know, we are the good land, Milwaukee strong. Arvind, welcome to the pod.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. David, great to see you and hear from you again, too.
You know, I want to be clear. Those that know me deeply know that I believe black and red, and that The Last Dance was a religious experience. That being said, I'm happy for the success of the Milwaukee Bucks from a civic health standpoint. I'm glad that my neighbors are happy and that Milwaukee gets to be in the national conversation because of the brilliance that is the Bucks. So
I got to say that when I floated Arvind as a guest, I literally thought that this would like blow up our podcast, given we know that Mac's allegiance with the Bulls and also having Arvind on, that, you know, only one person can leave this podcast alive, I think.
We can have another Highlander moment. Well, welcome.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And Mac, you know, listen, I think it's, what, a decade now you've been in Wisconsin, you said?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think you can adopt some new teams and some colors whenever you need to, right? Add to that new.
I don't know, party. Man. I'm not. I'm an old school guy. I'm a Gen. I was born into it. I root for laundry against my better purposes. So yeah, you're right. I still root for a zip code and area code.
Well, my job then here in the next few minutes is to convince you to join the good land.
I'll say this. One brief story. I remember I went to a playoff game. Where it was the other way around, right? The Bucks were on the ascendance. It was early Giannis, and the Bulls were the dominant team. I was like Tibbs era. I was like really impressed by the passion of the Bucks fans. Like they had that one section where they're all standing, almost like a European soccer section, standing the whole time, banging the drum. And it wasn't like a condescending, that's cute. It's like, that passion's really great, because I know at the United Center, after you win six titles, you just get blasé about stuff. You know, it's just like, But what I loved about the Bucks was just like, no, they're hungry. And they're going to be like, I didn't forecast how great, because they became, I would say they're one of the premier teams right now. And really impressed with that. And again, that's soup to nuts, really impressive ownership and folks like you who play a key role in making sure the Bucks are a great citizen.
Wait, before we move on, Arvin, did that land on you as sort of a shadow flex just now?
It kind of was.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Appreciate it that way. Yeah.
I mean, do you all have a trophy case with six Larry O'Brien trophies? Because if I missed it, I want to be sure to respect and acknowledge. You know, you'll have one, right? You got one trophy, don't you?
You know, it's not just excellence on the court, Mac. We have excellence off the court.
That's fair enough. And there's a lot of excellence there.
We don't need trophy cases for that over here. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Commitment, my friend.
That's right. You're committed to a powerful city, a vibrant city. We're going to get to that. But Arvin, we're an arts and culture podcast, and we love to hear from our guests about the role of arts and culture in our lives. So could you tell us about a story? It could be from your past or maybe recently. What was an arts and cultural experience that really left an imprint on you? Could be a book you read, maybe a performance you witnessed, or better yet, it might have been something you did, like you performed.
Sure.
Maybe a rousing Rick Astley performance at a karaoke night, possibly. I'm not hinting.
Hey, I like my karaoke. Rick Astley only comes out at a certain point in the evening. Now that I'm a dad of three, I don't get to that late in the evening anymore. But no, I appreciate it, guys. This is awesome. And thank you for having me today. Excited to share a little bit of my background and chalk it up with y'all. We'll talk sports. Don't worry. We'll get to our sports.
I also want to celebrate All Asian Pod, by the way. I want to celebrate All Asian Pod. I want to celebrate it. Happy AAPI month. Happy May. May is AAPI month. And we're doing it. All right. Now that we've named that elephant in the room. All right, go ahead.
Well, no, thanks, guys. And appreciate what you guys are doing here. No, arts has been an amazing, awesome part of my life from a very young age. I would, without dating myself here at the moment, right? Music has been a very, very core part of my upbringing, yes. My entertainment, my enjoyment, how I've even named my kids.
Oh.
Music has been an awesome part of my life, and that part of art and culture is not something I talk about a ton, which thank you for the opportunity. So from a young age, I played piano, classical piano at a very young age. I had a teacher who was in Bayside. And so every Saturday morning, my parents would run me over to there or drive us over there.
Yeah.
And it grew that passion and interest for piano, which was awesome. And so my love for music started there at a very young age. And so probably about from like 5 to 14, basically every Saturday morning was piano lessons growing up. And it built a foundation for my love of music. And I would say I love classical piano, of course, and I've got some fun stories there now with my kids who are starting to learn. But I developed a passion for rock and improvisational rock. And so I'll give you a date, 7/8/2000, July 8, 2000.
Yeah.
Was my first ever Phish concert. And so
I'm
a proud member of our Phish community. And so I love that lineage of loving the Grateful Dead and improvisational rock. And I'm a proud member of that Phish community.
Oh,
and so I've been to now 50 some odd Phish shows all around the country.
Wow.
That's that date, July 8th, 2000 was my first live experience, and it changed my life. Changed my life for appreciation of that band, the music, the experience, the community, and what music can do for your life. And so, I can very specifically remember that day. But I can also very specifically remember that my passion for music started when I was young, and I credit my parents for that very significantly.
Wow, 50 Phish shows?
50 plus. I think it's like 53. I should know the exact number, but 53.
So
all across the nation. So you've been on the road as a member of the Phish community.
100%.
That's proud. I mean, I saw that you're a Madison grad, that is like true to form. Like that's part of the deal. You walk on campus, they hand you, they put that in your hands. They like, you got to listen to this stuff.
I don't know about that, but my passion.
Did it accelerate that being in a place like Madison? Like, it's got to be huge, you know? Like,
listen,
the good access, music town. It's a great 100%, music
100%. The access to live music in Madison, whether it's on the terrace, the different venues, 100% accelerated my love for maybe the jam band scene and younger up-and-coming bands, which when we were going to college, bands like Umphrey's McGee, which is a little bit popular now.
There you go.
We're literally playing the terrace and playing outside. And but listen, I've always, I unfortunately, but fortunately, was exposed to large concerts at a very young age. I got spoiled, right? I like stadiums and venues.
Yeah. Like that, so that's a show for you. Go to a big. That's you want like Reading Festival. You want like 50,000 people and the Live Aid hands all clapping at the same time.
You know, I will draw my line there. I like I like my camping experiences. Like as I've gotten older, my germaphobe in me maybe is like, all right, let's do lawn season.
We're not going to Coachella. Is there a tell we're not going to Coachella? We're not going to Coachella this summer.
I would love to. I love festivals. I love what our music community does there, and I love. Listen very honestly, like this world of festivals even spurred from the Phish movements in the 90s and some of their festivals that they were doing. So I'm proud that my music taste has helped kind of even spearhead a lot of this great, whether it's Coachella or Lollapalooza to these other different music festivals, right? Such wonderful ways for our community to get together. And you know, even very specifically for us, right? Like as diverse members of our community, and music is the unifying voice, right? The unifying factor. And I love seeing that. And like, it's not lost on me that we can go to these shows and we're still the minority, right? But at the same time, that goes out the window when the first note is played. We can all enjoy it, right? It's the unifying force. And just like sports is that unifying venue and entity, so it's music. Yeah. And I appreciate that. That's been so influential in my life.
So now is there a legacy now? Like, is the Phish, because they've, I'm not saying they're done, but they've like slowed down.
Everybody slowed down, Mac. I mean, we're in some like world of pandemic.
I know everybody slowed down, but I sort of wondering, they they carried the torch from the dead. Right. And I'm wondering, is there one that they're passing the torch to? And maybe I'm a little bit outside the world. You know, I'm not a string cheese incident. No. I'm not in that world.
No, I appreciate the question. I would say the best news I can share is that they're still
holding on. They're in
still
it.
Going still, strong, putting out
Trey Anastasio music. and whatnot, and the crew. I couldn't.
It's been awesome. And their ability to continue to put out new music has just created a new generation of fans too, right? Old curmudgeon-y people like me can appreciate that there's a younger generation enjoying a new brand of their music as they've gotten older. And what's pretty cool for me is my kids are part of that. Now I might not take them to a show yet, but their appreciation for the music is something that I'm super proud of that exists in our family.
All right, Dev, sorry.
I was just curious about the way you sort of talked about the experience, right? It almost seems like the actual experience of the music is one thing, right? And powerful and everything else, but also just the community aspect of it, right? The actual like going to a Phish show, sort of the experience of it sort of has a kind of an experience in and of itself too, right? That is sort of separate from or a part of the music. And it seems like that sense of like kind of connecting with friends, family, you know, community members feels like something that we've just missed over the last year. As someone who's gone to 50 plus Phish shows, are you excited to hit the road again?
Man, David, you're spot on, right? I'm so excited to jump on the road again and visit Alpine and go down to Indiana and see different shows and check out wonderful new venues all around our country, right? No question. But I love what you talked about there, right? The community that comes with any affinity to any band, right? That's so unique. It's so particular. It's so special, especially if it's something you're so passionate about, right? And For me to have that with a group like Phish, I'm so grateful for, because we take for granted that it's not often bands stick around together, stay friends, and create that family culture that we can be part of that lasts for so long, right? So the fact that they've embraced it, they've empowered it, they've supported it, only makes it that much more empowering for us to maintain it, right? And to be part of it. And so for me, it's not just the music. It's crazy, right? Like we joke around in Milwaukee about how we call it small walkie, right? You can walk around and see random people and you're like, oh my God, I know them from somewhere. The same thing happens at our shows too, right? Like you walk around and you see people like, oh my God, I don't know where I saw you, but I know you. That's an awesome part of any music community that I can't wait to get back to. It's that little bit of like music allows you to take that cape or cloak off you and really just be you and appreciate what you get to enjoy as humans, as emotional people. And I love the emotional impact that music and concerts and attending events like this have, because it takes you away sometimes from the seriousness of our real world. And that that's needed. We need that balance.
That's awesome. You know, we know, we think about the role of these mass events, right? When I say mass events, it's like we gather on music, gather on sports, we gather on these things and through our shared time together, that's how we create culture together, right? Not just the physical edifices we build, but the way we connect with each other and be with each other in these spaces, right? That's my transition to connecting back to the intersection of sports and culture, which you're working with the Bucks now. But I do want to delve back to your history a little bit. You worked at another big cultural sports institution, which is NBC Sports as well. And
as totally part of the world.
As part of the NBA, totally different role, right? Yeah. Fewer 20 minutes guitar riffs, I think, solos. But and I believe you worked for Dick Ebersole, or you got to work during that, you know, who's a legend in sort of sports culture, sports media culture, right? And I'm a sports media nerd, so maybe I'm riffing a little bit on my own. But you got to work as part of the NBC Page program, which is quite a program. You know, it's a very intentional, like, entry level role in really bright-eyed, bushy-tailed people take that on. I would love to hear sort of what resonates to you from that experience of being part of a place that was creating culture for our country, right, through sports and media, and how does it inform your leadership now?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Mac. It's my NBC world and life, what feels like so long ago, was so influential to, like, who I am as a person, what I believe in, and that first opportunity was being a page. So for those listening who don't know what an NBC page is, real quickly, go look up the show 30 Rock.
You were Kenneth. You were Kenneth.
I was a real life Kenneth, guys. Oh my gosh. I still have the uniform. I still have the page. It's an easy Halloween costume, by the way. Now that 30 Rock was actually talked about. And by the way, one of the greatest shows of all time. Tina Fey, brilliant. No, I was an NBC page. So, yeah, my first gig, first job right out of college was a page. And so you alluded to, Mac, I went to school in Madison, proud Badger, proud graduate of the journalism program. And I want to do sports. I love sports. Do I go into writing? Do I go into a different world? And I had this opportunity to join the page program in New York. It's an awesome one-year apprenticeship type program. It's cool is that it brings together young professionals who apply, interview, and get accepted into this program and join this cohort, but it brings them from all over the country. So you're interacting with people all over different cultures and backgrounds, and you're part of this unique, prestigious cohort. 50 people at a time, you're doing different assignments throughout the organization. Mm-hmm. But the other fundamental thing you're doing that a lot of people don't know is you're doing those NBC studio tours. So if anybody ever goes to 30 Rock, go to New York, sign up for one of those tours, you're an NBC page that's giving that tour. And so, it was amazing. Like, I graduated and, like, you're thinking, am I going to be do I really want to be a tour guide? And that's what a lot of people think. For me, it was the easiest yes, because as you can tell, I like to talk and I like to communicate. And that opportunity got my foot in the door to just continue to expand my interest in sports, my interest in communication. So in addition to doing those tours, right, you apply for these different assignments. They're like 12 to 14 week assignments. Some of them are in NBC Sports. Some of them are at the Today Show. Some of them are, at that time, Conan was part of NBC.
That's right.
Saturday Night Live. And so, like, as you can appreciate, SNL is like the most sought after.
That's the most coveted one. I'm sure that's the most coveted one.
You're backstabbing your friends and, like, hire them, hire me. It's kind of fun. But I loved SNL. I'm a open, positive, loving fan of every year of SNL, default. So we can talk SNL one of these days too. But I had my eyes set on two things. One, I wanted to work for SNL. One, I wanted to work in sports. And I knew I wanted it to be the stepping stone for future. And I got both, which was some hard work and, like, selling myself. I the fall of 2005, I was the seating director. Wow. For the fall season of Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
It was a really cool assignment.
What's that wow. cast? Who what are we? 05 cast. What's that? 05
cast, man.
Who do you remember? Who do you remember? Is that Sudeikis?
After Will Ferrell, because Will Ferrell came back to host that year.
Is that early Kristen Wiig? Is that like early Kristen Wiig
time? Amy Poehler was there.
Armisen, that's Forte.
Yep.
Sudeikis.
Forte, absolutely. Jason Sudeikis was there.
Maybe early Seth Meyers, maybe?
Early like, Seth Meyers.
Early Seth Meyers.
Amy and Seth who were doing
Amy Seth. No, I love it. Yeah. That's good.
So, Arvin, just a pause right now.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
so you know that Mac is brimming with jealousy and probably like eating all of his words about the six trophies because his lifelong dream has been to have that job or be on stage at SNL.
I'd rather be like, on it. To me, it's getting your name by Don Pardo saying your name. That's the dream. Right? But that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. So you were the seating director, meaning
seating
you
made director. Sure so work with the producers part every show yeah. to like, all right, which celebrities are coming? Where do they go? Oh, wow. Where do they sit?
So you went to the after parties. So you're at the 4 a.m. after parties?
You are at the after parties, right?
Oh, like, man.
But
you
it's
saw some
cool.
stuff. All, you saw somehow, some stuff. You saw
yeah,
some
no,
stuff.
But all pages get to go. They like, through word of mouth, network. If you're going to be that's working, awesome. Everybody gets there, right?
That's so, awesome. Yeah,
there were some legendary 4 a.m. Yeah. parties
some
with
stuff, man.
With
you
staff
saw
members,
stuff.
Which is cool. But yeah, the other side of my NBC world was working with NBC Sports and to your comment, Mac, yeah. working with Dick Ebersol, who is a legend of all legends in
yeah.
the world of sports and media yeah. and broadcasting. And
yeah.
my first assignment was being a page to him, which was a newly created role.
Wow.
After my assignment, he turned it into a full-time role, and my world in sports took off from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we got to have another pod just on your 05 year, just to talk about all the people you saw.
The listeners can't see right now, but Mac is basically like rocking back and forth, like trying to control himself from like
awesome.
Asking a different question about the time. At,
yeah, we're just
going to
veer into that. We could talk about the great works of the Bucks Foundation, but come on, man, let's talk.
We'll do a separate SNL, we'll do a dedicated SNL pod. Podcast for sure.
Back to Milwaukee. Let's important work. And you mentioned this, your love of music, right? Classical music that you came up in. You were a good son because my mom made me play piano. But as soon as I could get out, I jumped out as quick as I could and regretted it. Now, years later, regret it. I wish I could play, right? Like, but you had the foresight to go, no, this is a useful thing to have, useful skill. Your leadership means you're also on the board of directors for the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music. So that you continue your leadership there. And, you know, it sounds like you grew up in the area, but you went away for a bit, right? And now I've been back in the area. What have you learned about Milwaukee's arts and cultural identity through the role of seeing it through the leadership of, you know, being governance for that organization? And how does it inform your leadership, you know, as helping the Bucks be a great corporate citizen?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that question a lot. I think from growing up here to having the cultural background that I have of being the first member of my family born outside of India and appreciating our Indian culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is also the community that helped raise me. So this is my hometown and my home community. So to go around, move away for a couple of years and come back, it brought newfound appreciation for what exists in this community. When you grow up in Milwaukee and you grow up around this area, you grow up in any town, right? You may not don't have the appreciation you have for it that you see when you become a little bit older. And so one of those significant areas for me that I just gained a ton of appreciation for was the diversity of our cultural and art scenes in Wisconsin, in southeastern Wisconsin very specifically. And listen, it's tough because they're underrepresented, they're undersupported, they're understaffed, they're underfunded, everything. I want to continue to think about how the Bucks can continue to elevate the role of arts in our community, the visibility around that. I think, listen, having an ownership team and an organization that built an arena with the mindset of bringing cultural entertainment to our community. I'm proud to work for an organization that believes in that too, whether that's bringing talent here and spotlighting that or highlighting local talent, whether that's in the space of music or physical art or different forms of art, right? I think that an organization has really made a concerted effort over the last few years to be connected in this space. And I think that's what we want to continue to do more of, is be a partner and elevate and bring more stability to our artist community and the different areas of our community that need some help.
You know, I think when you think about the role of the Bucks, right, and the way the Bucks have engaged with the community, the artistic community, I think it's lost on people the amount of cultural production that goes through Fiserv, right? Like not only all of the arts and stuff that's inside the building, but like when games are happening, there's music, DJ Shauna, like there's all this stuff that happens inside the building as it relates to cultural and creative production. And I think that's it's not just the game, right? The basketball game, which is incredible, but there's all this other sort of like supported industry that happens with regard to Cedric and the Baby Bucks, right? The dance is like it's all happens, right? It all sort of comes together. And I think that's what's so exciting about what's happening right now in the Deer District, just in general, right? And when we come back, really looking forward to seeing how we continue to activate and partner in making in continuing to highlight that level of excellent production that happens, you know, multiple nights a week.
I love that, Dan. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think oftentimes we really, our community, ourselves included, we think about the artistry of what is actually just on the court, right? The beauty of that performance and those individuals and the athletic excellence, but that commitment to art in all of its forms, yeah, right, is existent in our organization's approach to how we think about it all throughout the year. It's a 365-day-a-year approach, right, through our marketing team, through other elements of our organization, of thinking about different things we can do, right, to support our art community, whether that's through physical art representation in the arena, yeah, to performances, like you said, David. We have an amazing executive producer and his team in our game operations group that all throughout the year are thinking about different themes and different cultural milestones all throughout the year that aren't just things that we have to use our platform to highlight, but then how do we integrate the art and the culture of those specific milestones into our presentation? So exactly what you said, right? When you come to games and you see that halftime entertainment to the timeout entertainment to even sometimes what gear our entertainers are wearing, right? The goal is to be as inclusive as possible. And we want to be as inclusive as possible. And part of fun ways to do that is involve the art and cultural elements of our community into that. So it's something we think about honestly all the time. And I think one of the things that I think organizations like us, as well as anybody can do better too, right, is as well, as much as we outwardly think about how do we celebrate, showcase, let's not forget about our internal people too, right? We have every one of us come work for an organization or can work for an organization that can celebrate that too. Mm-hmm. Arts and culture. And so I think there's an opportunity for all of us to do it, maybe not at the level that we get to do it, in a beautiful grand building and a district that we get to,
yeah,
shape and mold, but we all have the ability to control what we can control with our own organizations, yeah, too.
You know, I think about like this last year, right? And I think it's probably a trite saying now that this last year was unprecedented, but I think for many organizations, it's really sort of brought forth this question of like living into this moment of corporate social responsibility, right? Which is obviously within your area, and I think the Bucks have become leaders, right? In this moment with Black Lives Matter, particularly with the playoffs last year, right? Like, what was that like for you and the organization as all of this stuff was happening, right, sort of in real time? I guess the question is like, how did you guys become so authentic, right, in this sort of like sort of living into the responsibility of the moment as the pandemic is happening and as Black Lives Matter was really sort of, you know, the sort of the refocusing on social activism?
Sure, it's a great question, David, Mac. I think it's something we, you know, since last summer, I've been asked a few different times in different conversations, right? Like, what did it feel? What was it like? What was it like going through that? Like, how do you feel about the organization and its ability to use that platform? And what does it all mean, right? I think the most important thing that resonates with me is that I represent an organization and a culture that's been thinking about and activating in these spaces and topics for some time now, for a few years. And I think it took a very personal incident, like what happened with Sterling Brown, yeah, who's a member of our team, for us to be that personally invested and committed. But I can say it helped establish some intentionality within our organization and some focus that built over the course of a couple of years, that formed the focus of some of our community relations efforts, that formed the focus of some of our philanthropic efforts, and very visibly also formed some of the interactions that our players and our coaches also encountered in the community. And so the issues of inequities in our criminal justice system to the inequities facing all members of our marginalized communities, especially our African-American and Latino communities, is something we've been trying to address over the last few years. And I think what happened this past summer was a culmination of a few different things, right? One, I think it got to a point where our players, our colleagues had enough, and just had enough of everything going on, and felt compelled and comfortable, most importantly, to know that they could say something and they could speak up and that they'd have the backing of an organization that was going to support them, because we've been doing things, right? We've been providing them a platform, building up to this, to get to that. Now, I couldn't have told you that those guys were going to wake up that morning and decide that they were going to protest the game. But when I knew about it, it made sense. I smiled. I for sure cried. I laughed. I shook my head. I called everybody I knew. I said, turn on the TV. But above all, I was so proud and further motivated, because if my colleagues could use their platform to do that, A, it meant that the work we've been doing made an impact, and let's keep going. And two, they ripped the Band-Aid off. They said things that corporate entities at times can't say, right? Spokespeople like myself can't necessarily say at times. And so they maybe really helped motivate our organization to go deeper and be more specific. And we're going to keep doing that. And I'm excited about that, because I think we see it every day. We feel it every day. There are so many inequities that exist with it, whether it's in our criminal justice system, to our education system, to our healthcare system. It's time we start acting upon that. And so figuring out ways that we can mobilize ourselves, that we can take action into our own hands to generate positive change, is our role as a community group. We're going to support programmatically. We're going to support philanthropically. We want to use our platform to help influence even further.
You know, I think there's like that saying, right, where in these really trying, challenging moments, it isn't, again, I'm botching the quote, but what I'm getting at is like, it's not as much as you can't fake those moments. You get revealed what you're about. Right. And I think that this last year, in terms of the Milwaukee Bucks playing a key role, leading the walkout, you know, in terms of playing basketball that one night and like inviting the whole, their fellow brethren in the league to go, how are we going to do this? You know, and leading, you know, being engaged in you got the Play for Justice initiative, which speaks again to the work around the criminal justice system, where, you know, y'all got staff and players visiting, you know, actual facilities and being with folks that are incarcerated to connect, you know, and sort of help raise a light to that, which I think the NBA as a whole has been leading overall, right, in the national conversation. And so even within that, the Bucks are helping push that edge. And again, hashtag real talk. I'm sure a lot of players, Black players in the NBA, are not thinking, yeah, Milwaukee, that bastion of, like, you know, that really great place where I want to go and feel welcome. So I got to think on some level, right, there's almost a practical element of like, y'all as an entity have to be out in front of these things, because in a way you want to keep attracting the kind of talent that wants to be there, right? Like, and so that's, to your point, you said what you can control is what can you control in that building and from your position and your platform to keep pushing, even though maybe perhaps, you know, our geographic area, you know, might not be moving at that same pace. So
no, it's a great comment, Mac. I think it's hopefully absolutely something free agency that is a part of our organization, that's part of our culture.
Yeah.
Community engagement is way more beyond than just appearances. And it's about building relationships with partners and organizations and entities. And over the last 5 years, we've really prioritized that with our relationship between the business side and the basketball side of our organization. And I think we take a ton of pride in ensuring that it is something that is a part of our culture, right? Yeah. If you're coming to Milwaukee, weather may not be the greatest, but guess what? We're going to be doing some impactful community work because the other thing to your comment, Mac, I'm part of it. Peter Fagan's part of it. Our organizational leaders prioritize this and we think about this, we care about this. And so for us, it's not just talking about it, right, or putting out a statement. I think it's building the legs and arms of being passionately engaged in these spaces too. It's being active. It's not just saying, and hey, go do this. It's actually going and doing it. And I hope we're taking those steps with our community partners to engage in circles, to communicate in conversations that maybe we weren't doing before. And that hopefully sends a message to everybody across the league, right?
Right.
We're going to be different. We're going to be different here because we want to be intentionally different.
Right.
You know, I got to say that, you know, you and I got to know each other a couple of years ago when building out Coach Bud's Assist for Hunger program, right? And I got to say, like, I've just been incredibly impressed at how deeply that culture that you're talking about, right, from not only the business side, but also the basketball side, where everybody sort of engaged in trying to create a better Milwaukee and a better community through whatever issue that's important to them. I was at an event prior to the pandemic where Pat Connaughton was talking about how, like, he's super excited about, like, helping to redevelop real estate, right, sort of in his side business. And, like, it's just, it's incredible to see the organization really care and invest in the community. I mean, obviously with the new, with the Fiserv Forum, with the Deer District, with all the investments, like, we've seen at big scale, right? And sort of, but to see that also kind of permeate from the top to you know, to players and to folks like you who are out in the community talking about it. We participated in the Public Allies event a couple months ago where you spoke at it, right? And it's just like, it's just sort of seeing you all kind of be a part of the sort of civic fabric, right, of creating a better and more inclusive city has just been so exciting.
I appreciate that. And we take a ton of pride in our culture and making sure that it's not just talk, but it's action. But I think you guys know, you gave a couple really good names, David, Coach Bud, and Pat Connaughton specifically. I could go through the entire roster, right? Yeah. It takes people. It comes down to people ultimately being so passionate and caring that that it allows us to even do more impactful work, right? Like, I laugh hysterically at the lines of, like, oh, stick to sports or stick to dribbling the balls. What are they not human? Are these guys not human?
Yeah.
Did they not, like, put the basketball down and go live a life and have other interests and passions? And, like, it's like, are we all married to just what our profession is that we can't talk about other things? And so I love that our culture of Bucks leaders, representatives are talking about community things.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about that stuff other than just what their job is. And that makes me so proud of the work that we get to do. And it mobilizes us, right? It gets us thinking more. It gets us connecting with new partners. And so that's a wonderful part of having partners that believe in this, right? Because it takes a village to do any of the work that we're doing. And so while I give a ton of credit to my team of Jack Snow and Quinn Otero, Brooks Griffin, Bucks community social responsibility team members that have been grinding for years, right? We need partners to help raise that visibility, to secure that funding, to help translate that back to our community partners. So it's a wonderful collaboration that we got to keep growing and we got to keep improving because everything still comes down to communication, right? So if you're not doing that, not planning and thinking, it'll go stale pretty quick.
Well, I got to think right now, like in our current sports moment, I'm thinking international sports moment, Arvin, we see in Europe, a whole bunch of clubs wanted to create their own breakaway league, right? And we saw what it meant to those fans who actually would benefit, right? Their clubs would actually benefit from
potentially,
right? But they said, no, that's not what this is about, right? And I got to think the Bucks are actually on the other end of that spectrum in the sense of like deep connection. Like, I got to think on some level, like, I'll, you know, as a fan, you go like, well, thank God I'm not like that. Like, you know, like, I'm hoping a whole bunch of Bucks fans go like, okay, thank God our ownership actually is connected to this place. It's a reminder again of how powerful sport is and how there is, I know so many Bucks fans out there that live and die every game, right? And that, and what the Bucks mean to them, right? And it's not just the results on the court, but it means listening to the game with their dad, or watching it with their mom, or watching it with their kids, and having that shared experience, and getting to grow up with a generational talent like Giannis, you know, and they'll have those stories. Like I got to say, like I got to grow up seeing Michael, you know, like that, that these are the things that, this is what it means to Milwaukee, right? That you do. And it's so great to see that, you know, that it's not just about results on the court, but it's closely paired to being a great neighbor, you know, and being, yeah, you know, a tremendous platform. So it's awesome. And it's so great to have your leadership there. So we want to make you the leader of the city's arts and culture. That's, that was all lead in to show our power.
All right. Wow.
We have the power to make you our czar of arts and culture, Arvin, but the hook, there's always like a weird, like Black Mirror style.
The small guy, print, right? Is there.
There's a small print.
Yeah, right. There is small print. All right. I'll get my magnifying glass out.
Go ahead. The small print, David, is what's
the small print is that it only lasts until the end of the show. So what, yes, and the reason why we have this power is that we only can ask it at the end of the show. So whatever you proclaim only has basically about 2 minutes.
Two minutes tops. So you gotta work quick.
Wonderful. So as the czar for the remainer of our time,
What's the policy?
Am I allowed to put in a policy here?
Yes, that's what we don't know. Hurry up. What do you got? What's the policy?
Celebrate our cultural arts better. Yeah. That's my policy. I want us to do more. I want us to, you know, I want us to embrace the diversity of our communities and celebrate the arts and culture that come from our communities better. I told you guys, I grew up here, right? And one of my fondest memories growing up is in our community, we used to have something called Holiday Folk Fair. I think it was at the Wisconsin Center or a big conference center that was basically a weekend long cultural celebration, right? Of arts, cuisine, and no joke, it was like an exhibition center that every cultural group in our community set up, and you'd walk around with a little passport and you'd test a little food from their community. And then across the hall, there would be exhibit space where different community groups could sell, small businesses could sell little things from their culture, their community. And then the third exhibit space, which is where I unfortunately got my dancing shoes handed to me, was my cultural dancing.
Yeah.
And so my goal, I want that back. I want that holiday folk fair format culture back. So that's my czar policy here. Is how do we make that happen? Because it had a lasting effect in my head of how we celebrated ourselves as a diverse community when I was young, and it went away. I hope it comes back.
All right. Well, you know, it was a glorious reign, Arvin. It was a glorious reign. But though it ends, David and I are committed, you know, Imagine MK is committed to carrying the legacy of that, which is how do we create more opportunities for shared spaces, for us to keep bumping elbows into each other and experiencing each other in a celebratory way. I think that's what we're going to take from that. Though we can't guarantee we're going to bring back Folk Fair. How do we end the isolation, especially as we come out of this pandemic, when hopefully we are able to be together more? How do we make sure people can show up themselves fully and are welcome and included?
That's a great goal, guys. I appreciate that. And I appreciate everything Imagine MKE is doing here, right? The ability for a group like you all to come in and connect our arts community better together, to help standardize, to help advocate, and just, again, continue to celebrate how wonderful our arts and our diverse cultural community is here. Kudos to y'all. And Imagine MKE, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Right on.
The Bucks are proud to be partners with groups like y'all that continue to put our community first.
Awesome. So the first thing is, can you all drop the game tonight to the Bulls? Because we need to get that 10 spot tonight. You got to rest Giannis. That's what I'm at. You got to rest Giannis. Giannis got an ankle thing. It's a back-to-back. First, you got to let him rest, because we got to catch the Wizards in that 10 spot, or else the trade for Vooch was kind of pointless. But more importantly, how can they find you? I know you might, whatever you're going to pull, you got on that, put in a word, but how can the audience find you in the work of the Bucks Foundation and the Bucks community work? How can they find it?
Well, I'm going to plug myself in a second here, but you just threw up some Bucks Bulls talk, and I got
to respond. I love how Max sort of like puts it out there and is like, hey, how do you plug?
Let me ask a productive question right afterwards. You don't want me to respond.
There's nothing to say, except you guys are favored over by 20, which is
first one observation. I think Mac might be the only person talking about the Bulls in the entire state of Illinois.
That's right.
Yesterday's draft, baseball season starting. So Mac, I'll entertain you there. But no, I'm not optimistic for your squad tonight. My team lost last night, a tough one.
They're angry. They're salty, aren't they? They're ornery, aren't they?
They are. But no, it's always a good rivalry, right? Bucks and Bulls. And
I think so. The I-94 thing.
It's only good. It's only good for everybody if the Bulls start to get better too. So
that's right.
That's what I hope for. But I appreciate this, guys. It's an awesome opportunity to come talk to you, share a little bit about my background and talk about some of the work that the Bucks are doing. We're doing some really, really amazing work. I'm super proud of the organizational leadership to prioritize what we do in the community. So follow us on Bucks.com. We do an amazing job of storytelling all of our wonderful community stuff. If not all of it, some of it. Follow us on Bucks Twitter, Bucks Community. At Bucks Community is kind of where we really prioritize a lot of our community storytelling and work. To all of our listeners out there, get engaged. Appreciate you guys. Bucks fans, Wisconsin fans are huge, huge contributors to the work we get to do as a Bucks Foundation and in the community. You shape a lot of our work. And it's not just us, it's all of our sports teams that are they're trying to give back. So we represent an awesome community that cares. So keep caring, guys. Follow us on social next week, May 3rd through the 7th, is Bucks Foundation Week. Spotlighting really cool partners. Fans love awesome ways to bid on cool memorabilia, auction packages. But everything we make goes right back into the community. So we've got some really fun things that we're doing. And this summer is also our 5-year Bucks Foundation anniversary. So we're going to have some cool announcements come out this summer too.
Awesome. It's going to be the summer and maybe the Larry O'Brien Trophy comes
back. That's what we hope.
Dare to dream. Although I'm sure Joel Embiid has a lot to say to that. So,
well, the good news is we know it's not going to Chicago this year.
I have nothing to say to that, Arvin, because it's true. It's probably not going to happen. Not unless it's on 2K, probably not gonna. True. Arvin, it was great having you on. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you. Properly, yeah. Milwaukee home, so let our love show. Milwaukee special, invest in the homegrown talent. We all searching for balance. United, the good lands approaching all of our challenges. Hand in hand.
What a good dude.
Yeah. He's so much fun, and I'm glad you were able to like make it through your jealous envy at his engagement with SNL.
I'm only jealous that he got to go to the after parties. That I have no doubt that was a hard job. I have no doubt that like I want to see him tell like someone's entourage that they don't have enough room backstage to sit. Like I don't want that job at all, man. No way. Telling Lorne Michaels that Mick Jagger, there's no room for Mick Jagger at the after party. No, thank you. That's not fun at all. But no, he's great. And you know, hashtag real talk. It's again, you know, corporate social responsibility, you know, it's an interesting role, right? And if I were to say the word interesting, sometimes it's like greenwashing or, you know, in some ways, but I have to say the work that the Bucks have done, you know, in terms of has been legit.
Hey, the proof is in the pudding, right?
Proof's in the pudding, man. And it speaks to people like him in the role, you know, that are trying to make sure that they can be that bridge. Because I know the players care, you know, they want a better city. They need it, you know? And so I'm sure he's doing his best to marshal the resources of their foundation as well as the internal workings to make that real.
Well, I think to his point, right? Like it wasn't something they just turned on when there was a historic event, right? Oh. I mean, it was something that they'd been working on for a while.
Yeah.
You know, he'd mentioned that it had affected them.
Came home with Sterling Brown.
I think that goes to show, right, that you know, if you have to invest in that kind of work to make whatever engagement you do authentic and real, and I think they put in the work, right? And I think that it shows, right? It definitely shows in how they've been showing up over the last year.
And you know, we're an arts and culture podcast, and again, in hashtag real life and our person, we love sports. You know, me and you both love sports. We're passionate sports fans. Bay Area squads, for those of you who don't know,
with the NFL draft last night or last week. I was texting Mac all throughout the night about my anxiety about the 49ers pick.
Not just last night, the whole week.
The whole week.
You were like dreading, like we're going to get We're going to get Mac Jones, aren't we? We're going to get Mac Jones. Like, you're like,
I was about to call up our friends at Woodland Pattern who are from Alabama, right? To be like, hey, can you call off the Mac Jones?
Like, you were just trying to, you're going through like the Kubler-Ross five stages and you finally got to acceptance. Like, all right, I guess we're going to take, you know, a guy who, when he take off his shirt, he looks like mashed potatoes. Fine. I guess so. And then they chose who they did, right? Which is Trey Lance. And your response was, well, they didn't get the guy we didn't want, which is great. I guess that's a win, right? Like, we didn't get the guy we didn't want. So, but to your point, I we share this with you listeners that sports matter to us, you know, even though, you know, I tolerate Milwaukee sports for the most part. I'm happy for my neighbors when they're happy, but for us, sports is culture, right? Sports makes place, and connects people to place. And here in Milwaukee, as you know, listeners, sports really matter here. Super passionate. And so it's great to know that when we have stewards of our sports franchises here, they're not just franchises and corporations, but rather they're neighbors and they are champions. And I think the Bucks do that. And it's great to have the leadership of folks like Arvind there to be incredible partners in doing that. So it's great to have them on.
I have a quick question for you, Mac.
Yeah.
Since Aaron Rodgers seems to hate his current employer, do you think he'd want to join our team as a podcast host?
Yeah, let's see if we can book A-Raj. Or maybe we could pretend that it's Jeopardy and he'll be like, oh, I got to show up and host an episode. And then like he shows up for a Zoom call and he'll be incredibly disappointed then. You know, I'll say, just as an outsider, you know, again, when I say an outsider, I've lived here for 11 years, but as a Bears fan, which makes me an outsider here, it was so delicious to see the whole day where this is me getting my heel heat on this podcast. Like, man,
that's a lot of heel heat.
There's a lot of heel. I want all the heat, but man, to see my Packers friends, brethren melt on Facebook in one day and just go, yeah, this is what it's like to be a Bears fan. Having no quarterback. You just sort of imagine who's going to be your quarterback. I'm like, welcome to Bears fandom, you know, where we already resigned to the red rifle, Andy Dalton, you know. Glorious mediocrity.
It is funny that through this whole draft season, I know this is not, we're not actually turning this to a sports podcast as the outro, but I had been texting Mac about how I wanted to pick Justin Fields and that he was the best quarterback. And then the moment that Chicago picked him last night, the first text for me was, well, I guess Justin Fields isn't that good, huh?
You know what, David, but you know, if I could do it all over again, you know who I draft number one?
Our listeners.
That's right. No doubt about it. Mel Kiper would say our listeners have tremendous upside, amazing agility in the three cone drill, and just a motor that wouldn't stop. That's our listeners. So thanks for listening, listeners. If you enjoy this episode and you'd like to help support the pod, share with others, post about it on social, or leave a rating and review, or contact us directly at pod@imagine.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by MacArthur Antigua, David Lee, and Lindsay Sheridan, and is the flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network. Make sure you also listen and subscribe to Black Imagination, and also check out back episodes of Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
Catch all the latest from Imagine MKE. Hit us up at Twitter, Insta, @imagine_MKE. Or if you're on Facebook, add us about bragging about your team's draft picks at Imagine MKE.
Thanks again, and we'll catch you next Tuesday when award-winning jazz guitarist and Milwaukee-based democracy champion Stephen Olakara joins us to talk about how jazz is the sound of our democracy. Until then, see you next Tuesday.
Till Tuesday, voices carry.